Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and I thank all of you for tuning in tonight. We are really, really making a lot of headway, family, and again, I want to thank all of you for your continued support and continuing to pass the word about our radio broadcast here every Saturday night here on Blog Talk Radio. And I wanted to let you know that we are preparing to bring you a few new broadcasts very, very soon, and we're going to give you more information about that shortly as well. But before we do anything else, we want to give thanks and praises to our Creator. And, of course, we are always appreciative of those freedom-fighting ancestors, those who have paved the way for us to continue to do the work that is necessary for true African liberation, for true black self-determination, etc., etc., etc. Okay, this edition, November 6th, 2010, as they say. We got a lot we're going to cover tonight, but one thing we want to bring to your attention is, for those of you who are familiar with COINTELPRO, well, we now truly have some evidence, for lack of a better word, of the new kinds of things that is in our midst. A little later on, we're going to talk with our brother Darryl Jordan, who is the director of the Third World Coalition. That is actually national group of folk that are very serious about addressing some of the issues that we call social justice oriented. And Darryl's going to tell us about a meeting that he recently attended, and also information that we were able to obtain through the Third World Coalition and other groups and organizations here in Philadelphia, and also nationally. We were able to obtain some information that really began to show clearly that, once again, COINTELPRO, or whatever you want to call it, is definitely alive and well in 2010. Well, what we're also going to focus on tonight is looking at the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. For those of you who follow what's going on with Mumia, and for those of you who don't, you need to know what's going on. And presently, there is a lot of activity taking place in terms of Mumia's case. Now, on Monday, there is going to be a debate between an attorney here in Philadelphia whose name is Michael Cord, who has spoken out very clearly about the injustice in this case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. But also there's going to be the debate with Seth Williams. Now, Seth Williams, of course, is the new DA that is based here in Philly, and it should be a very, very interesting kind of dialogue. We're going to be there, and I wish that we would be able to broadcast live. We're going to see if we can do that, but definitely we'll be able to give you a report on what that debate, you know, what happens with that debate. That's on Monday again. So look forward to that. Now, the debate is going to be, needless to say, why Mumia has been targeted, why Mumia Abu-Jamal did not get a fair trial, why there is such a push now to have him executed, and why the movie or the film or the documentary or whatever you care to call it, titled Barrel from the Gun, why that was done, when it was done, and why it was done anyway. And also the debate will focus on pointing out some of the contradictions of the documentary and then some, okay, some of the hidden agendas, some of the funders, and so forth. Okay, they're going to focus on some of that. And, of course, Michael Cord is going to present some information that is relevant to the other film that was recently released, which, of course, was Justice on Trial. Now, that particular film was done by Sister Johanna Fernandez, And it was a very, very well done documentary. Now, of course, those of you who have been attuned to New Day Resurrection and Liberation, you have, of course, heard on several occasions Mr. William Singletary. Well, we had Mr. William Singletary also on a local radio program here in Philly last week, Brother Ramasus, who should be calling in a little later on to talk about his show that's coming up on Monday, which will feature Dr. Francis Crest Welsing and Neely Fuller Jr. Okay, so he's going to be calling in a little later on to tell you about that so that you can tune into that show. That's going to be a powerful show on Monday. Now, moving right along, getting back to the debate on Monday, which will be earlier that day. I think the debate starts around 6:30, and again, we're going to see if it's feasible to do a live broadcast from there. I'm almost sure that we can, but I will know for sure tomorrow. I can tell you that I did speak with Sister Pam Africa just a little while ago and was told that a French delegation has arrived in Philadelphia. We do know that there are people coming in from Detroit, Mississippi, of course, New York, from New Jersey. So there is really, it's going to be a powerful day on November 9th for that hearing here in Philadelphia, 3rd District Federal Court. Now, that hearing is very, very, very important because that hearing is designed really to begin to set Mumia up. And it's very apparent that that's what's going on. And even with the two things that are on the table, in itself tells you that there's something very shady about what's going on. Nevertheless, according to what we have heard and according to what we do know, what will be presented on November the 9th is whether or not Mumia will receive life in prison without parole, or whether it will be the death penalty again. And, of course, Seth Williams, the new DA, his position is for the death penalty. So, again, we're going to have some real serious dialogue about that a little later on when we talk with Daryl Jordan from the Third World Coalition, and also Brother Ramasus will be calling in. And we'll also shed a little light on, you know, how he felt about the interview with Brother William Singletary and, of course, Sister Pam Africa, which was on his show last week. So that's all what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, getting back to the issue of justice on trial. Well, even though there is a documentary called Justice on Trial, which, of course, focuses on the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, we've also begun to look at Philly also being on trial. Because what we've seen here in Philly is, as in several other cities, the escalation of police and governmental terrorism, but also the escalation of sellouts, the escalation of Negroes being put into position to be buffers, to impede, to just get in the damn way of anything that really is representing our people, or at least attempting to do so. So when we see this case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, this is going to really clearly show a lot of things that's going on here in Philly, because the question has been raised, how can you have thousands of people talking about this case nationwide, hundreds and perhaps thousands of people coming to Philadelphia in support, to show their support for Mumia on Tuesday, November 9th. How can that be? And yet you have a city where the population is approximately 50% black, but yet coming into attendance or coming into support for a brother who has shown his commitment and his love for the black community here in Philadelphia. It's going to be very interesting to see who shows up on Tuesday, who supports the efforts in freeing Mumia. It's going to be very interesting now to know, for once and for all, where these people really stand and what their positions really are. And we're going to raise that issue. Now, I am involved in a component for the Mumia Abu-Jamal Free Up Mumia Abu-Jamal committee. My particular role deals with direct action. And so coming from that, our cadre will be raising that question with, you know, some of the alleged black progressive organizations, groups, nationalists, pan-Africanists, or whatever. We need to know what their positions are, and we're going to request to know that. So that's some of what is going to be happening this week, and we will be more than happy to bring you that information probably on next week's show, you know, as we begin to get it in and continue to funnel that information to you. Because, again, we really need to now know who is who and what is what, and not just in Philadelphia, but all over the country. So here at New Day Resurrection Liberation, you can look forward to some very revealing shows in the very near future. And our programs are going to be designed specifically to help do that, to help strengthen and to help make certain that we are able to move forward and, you know, connect in the way that we should. Now, let's see, what else did we have going on for you tonight? I do believe that Sister Wasita will be calling in tonight again to give you the information and remind you about a upcoming event that's going to be taking place in the Washington, D.C. area. We're going to be bringing forward the Million Women Movement now in the Washington, D.C. area. For those who are interested, again, Sister Wasita should be calling in a little later on to give you some specific information about that. I'm looking forward to being there on November the 11th to provide the sisters with, you know, some of the information as to what it is we're now getting ready to literally do in bringing forth the MW movement and also continuing the great work and legacy of the Million Woman March. So again, that's going to take place on November 11th. I'm also planning to do a book signing. Of course, we have our new revised version of the 100 Amazing Facts about the Million Woman March, which will be available on November the 11th. And remind all of you, like to remind all of you, rather, that you can obtain a copy. It is now available to you. You can just forward us an email, and we will send you the information on how you can order it. You send the email to nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, let's see. Was something else that we wanted to remind you of? Let's see, what was that? For tonight's show, we're going to also kind of get into giving you an overview of some of the upcoming MWM programs that we have pretty much in place now and are getting ready to be brought forward. When we talk with, I believe Brother Darrell will be calling in a few moments. What I think we're going to do is open up the chat room so that as we are communicating with him, you will be able to forward your questions and so forth to us. And then that way, if you wish to call in, we're going to open up the phone line as well. But if you wish to utilize the chat room to communicate about what we're talking about tonight, or if you have a question or something you want to have asked to Brother Darrell, then we can also do that. But what I want to do is, again, to remind you that the topic that we are getting ready to discuss is that which is very, very serious. And for those who may have had doubts about, you know, when we talk about COINTELPRO and other kinds of things of that nature, some tend to think that, oh, that was 60 years ago or 40 years ago or whatever, you know, 20 years ago. Well, again, let us remind you that many things that have happened in the past are still happening now, just with a different name and a different face or whatever, but the objective is generally the same, making certain that we all still become or remain or be dominated, subjugated, and controlled by a system that cares literally nothing about us. And if you have doubts about that, well, hopefully, by the time you finish hearing this show and as you hear other shows and talk with other people, you will realize that we are kind of telling you what's really going on and are very committed to make certain that we continue to do so. So let's do this. We're going to get ready to go to our live line. And, again, we are going to talk with Brother Darryl Jordan, who is, in fact, the director of the Third World Coalition. His brother has been actively involved in social justice, liberation work for many, many years. Those of you who, you know, kind of travel in those arenas, certainly you are familiar with him. But, you know, it's so important that we now begin to bring forward, you know, this information to make certain that people are aware and prepared, you know, to really take the kind of actions that is necessary to take. So without further ado, again, the chat room will be open in about 5 minutes or less. And you are certainly welcome to post your comments and thoughts. And we're going to go to our live line now. And joining us live is Brother Darryl Jordan from the Third World Coalition. Hey, brother, what's going on?
How are you doing, Sister Filet?
I'm good. We're good. You know, always, anytime we can bring powerful information to our extended family is always good. So before we go into the dialogue for tonight, let folks know a little bit about you, what it is that you do, and, you know, as an extended family member, because that's how we deal with our show here. We don't just get on and talk about topics, you know. We connect with one another based on the fact that, you know, we all have a common interest. Most of those who are listening, some are listening for some other reasons to see what the heck we're talking about, but most of the listening are really interested in knowing what's going on and are also usually very involved in doing some of those things to address them. So, you know, let a few people know what it is that you're doing now and what Third World Coalition is about.
Well, real quickly, well, you know, our relationship goes back to the leadership and organizing and the organizers who were affiliated with AFCOM.
Yeah.
Coming forward, you know, I've been able to work for the Third World Coalition, which is a part of the Quaker organization, the American Friends Service Committee. The Third World Coalition works on issues and concerns of people of color, and it's a network, an international network of people of color, working on all kinds of issues. That's real quick and dirty.
Uh-oh, now, you're starting to break up a little bit.
I have a cheap cell phone, but it's working on.
Okay.
But tonight, I wanted to talk about the spying that's been going on in Pennsylvania.
Spying?
By Pennsylvania Homeland Security. They've contracted with an Israeli security company to spy on people doing any kind of activism in the state. They've been free to pretty much monitor and spy on anybody they wanted to, including MOVE, Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, the Brandywine Peace Community, all kinds of organizations. You'd be surprised. Almost anybody that did anything, you'll find the organization on this list. And they compiled it, and they sent it around the state to 800 law enforcement agencies.
What?
Pointing out these people, these organizations as organizations who could be a threat for terrorism in the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow. So how did you find out about this?
Because it was leaked to the press about a month ago, and right after that, the governor, if you remember, he came out and apologized for the spying that was going on and acted like he didn't know what was going on.
So now, wasn't he, though, the one that actually contracted them?
Yes, Homeland Security contracted with an Israeli security company called Institute for Terrorism Research and Response.
Wow. Yeah, I had the opportunity to visit their website the other day, and it was, needless to say, quite interesting. They advertised very vividly that they do training both intelligence and in other ways. Of course, surveillance research and things of that nature. But it was very clear that two of their major locations was Israel and Philadelphia.
Well, you should know that this company's first governmental contract in the U.S. is with the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
But this is just one small piece of the picture. But at least they've been exposed this time, and there's a large number of organizations who are coming together to try to put this information out more broadly and to try to create some momentum toward changing the law so that at least they have to stop this particular kind of spying. We know it won't stop all spying because they'll just find another way to do it. But if we're going to be trying to shut them down, then we have to take every opportunity to expose them to folks who don't believe.
Absolutely.
This seems pretty, okay, look at all those folks on that list, so it doesn't seem all that bad. But 50 years ago, people were watching people go to jail because of COINTELPRO, and some folks are still in prison based on that stuff.
That's right.
Sit back and watch this again, and we'll be once again watching people go to jail on some trumped up stuff because the police set them up. I was watching all the time, I was spying on them. The brother Diop with the Democratic Uhuru movement here, his name is listed in the list, and he was attacked by the police in city council.
Right.
And they sit around, and just the movement that he's been able to generate to fight for his freedom on this issue, then they're all being spied on. They mention him in particular on the list for a very long time. And I would urge people to try to get a look at it just to see if organizations that you are part of and organizations that you support are on that list.
So, Darrell, where can one obtain or see the list?
What I'll do is I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And then you can figure out how to share.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, we'll just have folks to email us, and we'll send it right out to them. But I did get a chance to look at it, and it looked like it was about four pages.
Yes, it's pretty extensive, and some of the things that they're looking at are pretty silly. And some of the names of the organizations are quite interesting, too. One group was Vegan Warriors. I'm not familiar with that organization, but I just found that an interesting name amongst the list of organizations that were listed.
Well, I saw some names of organizations on there that I just know, you know, was in no way a threat of any sort whatsoever. I think, you know, some of it was to me almost like camouflage. In other words, it was their way. They put certain groups on there that they know, you know, nobody really would believe that they were involved in anything. But I think the philosophy or the concept was, well, you know, we're going to put all these names on there when they really have the intent for some specific groups. You know, but they want to make it seem like they're balancing it out or something by putting these other groups or names on there, when in fact, again, they have some intent specifically for some other groups and some other folks.
While I think you're right on it, I think there's another perspective on that, too, and that's the struggle right now is to keep people from organizing and to keep people from coming to the meetings that folks are having and the actions that people are having.
Mm-hmm.
They are afraid of people talking and educating each other and getting together and figuring out what's going on and going after who's doing it to them. And so anything that can chase people away, that's the agenda right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when everyday people who are mad because they saw a young black man get beat up over in their neighborhood in West Philadelphia decides that they want to go to a meeting, and this might be one of the things that happened close enough to them that they got up and went out. And then all of a sudden they found out that the police are spying on folks. Then the effort is to try to scare away people who are beginning to pay attention and stand up. That's what it's
sure.
all about.
Sure.
They come back.
Yeah, and I, you know, there, I think you're right on point with that. And what came to mind as you were saying that is also, I think as groups might get wind of this is what's going on, it may also encourage some to become more supportive to them. Example is that with various so-called anti-death penalty groups.
Yeah.
Who have now taken the position of, you know, not supporting Mumia, for example.
And we have to expose that because you can't oppose the death penalty and have exceptions.
Right.
Opposition to the death penalty has to be absolute, you know.
That is one of the most idiotic things that I've seen in a long time as far as organizational maneuvers. I mean, just so blatantly stupid, really. Really shows clearly that these people had no real commitment to the death penalty, obviously.
Well, sometimes there has to be a litmus test, and I think for some folks in the anti-death penalty movement, they defined the test and failed it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When they decided that distancing themselves from the struggle to free Mumia
mm-hmm.
was a
mm-hmm.
problem for them. When he's probably the most well-known death row person fighting for his freedom in the world.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And speaking of that, of course, this Tuesday, and we've mentioned it earlier, that the trial Mumia's hearing in the Third Circuit Court is going to take place this Tuesday, November 9th. Of course, a lot of people are expected to be here in Philly. I did speak with Sister Pam earlier, Daryl, and there's a French delegation has come in. So, you know, people are coming not just from, you know, the tri-state area, but from all over the country, and needless to say, from other countries as well.
Yeah, this is very important hearing, and if people are in Philadelphia and they can get downtown at 12 noon on that day, their presence would definitely be appreciated and noticed.
Well, you know, like you said, I think right now it's clearly a test because this is a very, very, very critical time for Mumia, and as far as black folks in Philly in particular, I think it's going to really show, you know, just who is who. Really, because there's no reason why you can have people coming from other states, other cities, and needless to say, other countries, and you got folks right here in Philly. And note, 12 o'clock, a lot of people, even if you're at work, that's the time that you're able to take your lunch break. Okay, so, I mean, for real, if you don't feel like you can get off all day or part of the day or whatever, come down on your lunch break. So, there's not going to be any excuses this time. So, Daryl, there's a meeting coming up. Can you tell us a little about the meeting that's coming up to further discuss some of the surveillance stuff that's going on?
Okay, there's two things going to happen this week. On Wednesday afternoon at City Hall,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a rally and a press conference just to put it out there publicly what's been going on and to challenge the governor-elect to put an end to this kind of stuff. Now, we know you see that, but it's about the struggle so that we can expose this to the community. And maybe ACLU might be able to beat them in court based on what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
But people have come out. And because if they're spying on some of the groups on this list, they're spying on you too.
That's right.
That night is going to be a big town hall meeting at Friends Center at 6:30, I believe, and that's at 15th and Cherry.
Mhm. Okay, and that's Wednesday?
Wednesday, 12 noon for the rally and 6:30 for the town hall meeting.
Okay, great. Great. Okay, now, if folks need more information or they want to volunteer or help out or whatever, is there a number that they can call?
Well, they can call me for now because I don't have the number for FAN, which is what we call the First Amendment Network, my number would be 215-241-7178.
Okay. All right, and we'll give that number out again before we close out for tonight. Now, speaking of the ACLU, I guess maybe you have heard that the ACLU has filed a suit in regard to the Stop and Frisk here in Philadelphia.
That's true. But they were saying that it was illegal when the mayor first proposed it, running for office. I think it's interesting that that in all this time, the mayor hasn't backed up off of this. I mean, you know, it blatantly violates constitutional rights. And once they looked at the numbers, they saw that upwards of 75% to 80% of the people stopped with that. So it's all about profile, and there's no defending that.
Wow. Well, it seems that it's kind of interesting, the timing, because during the past month or so, there's been a lot of activity in the community around Brother Sabor and his cousin, Sister Tanya, who was just beaten about a week ago. So over this past month, again, there's been a lot of activity going on. And now here we have this lawsuit. But the one thing that I saw about the lawsuit, and if I remember correctly, it did state, the report that I read did state that the ACLU was hoping to do this as a class action. So, you know, we need to let people know that. But presently, the people that I've seen involved in this action are people who are somewhat notable. Meaning there's a state representative who was apparently, you know, in a situation with police. His name is Joel Williams. He was named in this ACLU complaint. Also an attorney who was apparently stopped and, you know, for some traffic violation or something, but the charges was, of course, dismissed. So far the name we've gotten from this particular filing is of those who are recognizable in the community. So I'm not sure if that was intentional or there's just whether they're approaching it now or if they're planning to, you know, really involve these additional cases or what. So, you know, we shall see. We shall see. But it's certainly a good move.
It is, and I don't know either, but you're putting it out there. Give people an opportunity to talk to other people and maybe just let folks know that they too got an issue and want to become part of that suit.
Right, right. Well, what I also know is that on December the 11th, there's a group of folks, including myself, we have began to put together some hearings, community hearings, to begin to document these cases in our community, but not just of police per se, but what we call, and of course, you know, Chairman Fred is the one that really helped to coin that phrase that we know of, this thing of police and governmental terrorism. So people will be able to come out on December the 11th at Songhai City Cultural Center. And if you had a situation that you felt violated your rights or something that you felt was an injustice or whatever, be it the police, be it an agency that is considered to be a government or city agency or so forth, we want you to come down and begin to file your complaint so that we can document these various cases and situations. So that's going to happen on December the 11th. And then there are other groups, too, that are planning some activities. But what we do know is we have got to now deal with some very proactive kinds of things. Because just as you mentioned, Brother Darrell, there seems to be or have been a kind of laid-back approach to some things. And as a result, look at what we're dealing with. We're dealing with blatant... you said violation of constitutional rights, violation of human rights. And so, you know, needless to say, there's no telling where this is going to go now.
Well, post 911, the police have all been able to take more and more of people's rights away from them just under the guise of protecting the state from terrorism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That it's become an increase in police abuse inside the city and an increase of violence against immigrants right there on the border of the U.S. and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the same thing. It's the same thing that the U.S. does in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right.
So it's all about the same stuff. And until people begin to do something about it, or even just become more aware of it, then it just begins to be more and more noticeable, especially because of Facebook and all kinds of other social media now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to wait for the news to tell us.
That's right. We get
it the other way. And so it's become more and more apparent. So maybe just that happening will make people know that they've got to do more and more to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened in Oakland.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, I had planned to ask you your thoughts on that.
It's not a lot to think about. They got away with murder one more time.
Mm.
I mean, there were pictures of the murder, and they got away with it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the struggle stopped here. I mean, because that's one murder that we know of, and there's so many around the country to talk about. There's the murder of the little girl in Detroit that was killed by the police there. There's just so many. And if people on Facebook, I mean, about 2 weeks ago, it seemed like there must have been police abuse actions in 6 or 7 cities all around the country. Seattle, Atlanta, all kinds of places.
Very interesting. And you know what, Sister Pam and I were talking about this the other day, how it seems we used to have these conversations, it seemed like, in the springtime or as summer began to come in. You know, it was always something that we kind of would talk about and felt, you know, was in the air. But now it's like any time, any season, you know, doesn't matter. If it gets hot, it can be cold, hot, don't matter. It's going down.
Isn't that usually the sign of a nervous system? It gets nervous. It needs to perpetuate its own continuation. So it begins to war against its own people.
Yep. Well, you know, as you well know, brother, it's been predicted for a while, you know, that these things didn't just start yesterday, and certainly, you know, in various circles, it's been talked about for quite a few years now that this is the direction or this is the way things were going to happen. We've heard about, talked about such things as New World Order, and, you know, you have these other names and whatever, but the bottom line is still the bottom line. There's a mentality and there's a force that is, you know, been in the makings for a while. And now we're beginning to really see the manifestation of it. So, again, to dialogue about it is one thing, and that has been done, but now we are literally being confronted with it. You know, we know of police brutality, excessive force, and terrorism here in Philadelphia for at least 25 years. You know, I mean, not just starting with MOVE in 78, but certainly that was a time period because Philadelphia was then one of the first cities. In fact, at that time, the first city to be investigated to that degree, you know, by the so-called FBI, which was kind of funny because it's like, you know, good cop, bad cop. But nevertheless, you know, that was 78. So now here we are again having some very similar dialogue, but the difference is like, well who's going to monitor who now? Because we told the FBI doing this now. So it's obvious the situation has escalated, and not only has it escalated, the presence of opposition, and this is where it becomes a little, you know, kind of scary almost. the opposition to it, that's going to now be interesting to see. And I think that's what they're trying to see, too, by making the moves that they've made. You know, that with Oscar Grant, here in Philly with Brother Askir Sabor. You know, that was put on YouTube. Of course, the situation with Brother Oscar Grant was put on YouTube widely. So, you know, oh, that brings me to another thing. What is your thoughts about some legislation that's going around in different cities and different states that is trying to ban people from being able to record when police are out of hand?
Oh, well, that's just another effort to try to hide what's going on. It's too late now. I think one of the things, all of the issues of police brutality that we hear about is because people are aggressively resisting. And so long as people keep resisting, they're going to keep on getting crazier and crazier. And I think our phones are a weapon now.
Mm.
And I don't think they can stop people from taking pictures. The Panthers did that 50 years ago.
Right.
They used to tell people what their rights were and that you had every right to stand at a certain distance and watch the police do what they do. And now we have cameras, and so you can't tell one what to do with their camera if you're doing something real stupid in front of them. And so I hope that's something that we continue to have as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't remember which ones they are right offhand, but in doing some research, I did see that there were three states that it's pending, you know, that they are really trying to push that legislation. And I'm saying with the climate of the way things are and what we're seeing, I don't know. I really don't know. They are moving very quickly, and it seems that they are beginning to really make some headway. I mean, it's this election thing that went down. You know, I'm not too much into electoral politics, but you know, it does seem like some moves are definitely being made to make certain that quote unquote rights and all of that are put into a whole nother kind of perspective. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I think this next year is going to tell a lot. And speaking of the electoral thing, I don't know if you heard about this boycott that I hear is being put in the midst of things. I've put some feelers out to try to find out where it's coming from, but I received some information about a major group or corporation or whatever that's really behind the so-called Tea Party and their actions or whatever you want to call it. It seemed like there's a company known as the, or a group known as the Koch Brothers. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't.
Well, apparently this company, which is really a corporation, owns Barney Towels, Dixie Cup, Angel Soft toilet paper, Quilted North paper. It seems like this is a family that is very much involved in funding the Tea Party, and it seemed like there's a few groups that are coming together to begin formulating some kind of boycott against them. So I'm just putting it out there in case of any of our listeners, any of our family have heard anything about this. Feel free to send us some information, some additional information about it, because we just got limited information about it. But it seems, again, that, you know, these are some serious, serious dollars that is being sent into the Tea Party that's being bankrolled by an entity known as the Koch Brothers, whose family goes back to the John Birch Society. So when we talk about the reemergence of stuff, it is good to know the history of things, because then when you are able to examine things today, you can kind of connect the dots. So, again, I just wanted to put that out there to folks who may know a little something about it, may have some information on it, may have done some research about it. Please feel free to, you know, send it along to us to nationalmwm@aol.com or officialmwm@yahoo.com. And, you know, let us know what you think about that. Okay, so let's see. We got one more thing we wanted to bring forward tonight. Let's go for a moment to Monday. The debate is coming up with Seth Williams and Michael Kord, attorney Michael Kord. What are your thoughts about that?
It should certainly be entertaining. To watch Michael eat up Seth Williams. This is going to be better than anything going on Monday night.
Absolutely.
There'll be one more opportunity to expose one more time that there is no case against Mumia. And so I hope people are paying attention as this is a pivotal week.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm like, now I was wondering, I think I saw that the film Barrel from the Gun is going to be shown also. I'm trying to check my records now. I'm almost sure that is going to also be shown. Now, of course, the Barrel of the Gun documentary is one that was done by the Woods person, Tyree Woods, I think is his name. And it, of course, from what our reports indicated, was really just rubbish. I mean, even the white newspapers kind of reviewed it and said it was sort of ridiculous. So anytime they found it to be not noteworthy, certainly it really just, you know, was a bunch of nonsense. But we know that it was to serve the purpose that it served and to continue to try to put out misinformation, but fortunately it failed. It failed drastically, apparently. So hopefully we will get a chance to see it on Monday. So, you know, I'm going to check on that. And, again, I've told our family listening audience that if we're not able to report from the location on Monday, we will definitely make certain that we give them an update when we come back on the air next Saturday. So either way, it's going to be pretty interesting. And again, you know, there's going to be – oh, that reminds me, that's what I wanted to mention. Sister Pam wanted everyone to know that the tickets are now sold out for Monday's debate. So there are no more tickets left. So that's a wonderful thing. It'll be a full packed house. So are you planning to attend, Daryl?
I'll be there.
I know that's right. Yes, well, this is definitely going to be interesting. And, again, we're going to try to broadcast live from the location, so hopefully we'll be able to do that. Okay, well, I guess that's pretty much it. Let me see. I think, we covered everything we wanted to cover for that. Brother Daryl, give out the information one more time for Wednesday, the activities coming up for the rally at 12 o'clock in Philly and then the meeting later on. And also add, with the meeting, what will the meeting focus on?
The rally is going to be at around noon at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We ask people to come out. If you got flyers about the work you're doing or some issues you're working on, bring them so you can share them with folks. And then at 6:30, there's going to be a town hall meeting. There's going to be, one of the family representatives from one of the families from the Midwest that was raided by the FBI, the ACLU. It's going to be moderated by Michael Kord. And it's going to be an opportunity to hear from some of the folks who've been monitoring the government and watching the growth of this security industry, paying attention to everybody's business. And so that's at 6:30, and that's going to be at 15th and Cherry at Friends Center.
Okay. Now, who are the other groups or organizations that are involved?
a whole range of organizations, the ACLU, Kensington Welfare Rights, International Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal, MOVE, International Action Center. It's a range of organizations, Black Radical Congress, Philadelphia, a number of organizations sitting at the table, the American Friends Service Committee. So it's a range of organizations that have come together to fight the state on this.
Okay, wonderful. And again, give out the telephone number. Again, if folks want to get more information, volunteer, give them that number again.
Okay, give me a call at 215-241-7178.
Okay, great. All right, my brother. Well, thank you for taking the time to provide this information. And again, family, we've been talking about is Pennsylvania. And note, if Philly did it, if PA did it, rest assured, all the cities are looking at it, considering it, and are already involved. Okay, because that's rules. If you see it in Philly, non.
Well, greetings, family. We are back somehow or another. We got disconnected right in the midst of talking to Brother Darryl Jordan. We were, of course, talking about surveillance, violation of constitutional rights and human rights and so forth. We were talking about how the FBI was involved in this, Homeland Security, and their contracting, or the state of Pennsylvania, and it's contracting with various anti-terrorism agencies or what have you. Wow, it's interesting that, again, we were disconnected. And we are now trying to get back to our board so that we can find out, you know, what's going on. But that was just very, very interesting, but not surprising at all. Wow. Okay, so we had been interrupted a bit, and we were on, the chat was being set up. Unfortunately, we have lost that as well now. And it doesn't seem like we're able to get into our boards again, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on with that, but we are trying to get back to the board so that we can connect our next guest. We haven't been able to do that as of yet, but this is just very, very interesting to say the least. Wow. Okay, so what we're going to have to do is try to maybe, looks like we may have to try to do another program tomorrow. We did talk to Sister Pam a little while ago, and we had really begun working on doing this anyway because we wanted to bring you some updated information, but it seems like it would be a good idea now to do the another show tomorrow to try to kind of fill in for where we left off at tonight. So with that said, what I think we're going to do is we're going to close out this show for tonight. We definitely apologize for the inconvenience and not being able to come to you. I'm having problems getting access to our board so that we can have some further dialogue, bring people in. There were people waiting to come on for tonight, and we had hoped to get some responses from some of our callers. We had planned to open up our lines, but by me not having access to the board, I am not able to do that. So what we're going to try to do, we're going to try one more time to see if we can get to the boards. For those who do not know how this works, I'm able to access what we call operational boards, management boards, from the computer. When glitches occur, we can sometimes get locked out or not be able to get access or what have you, and presently we are now trying to get back to the boards, but are not, you know, able to do so for some strange reason. So what we're going to do is, again, try once more. Hopefully this will work. We will be able to do this, but so far we are not able to get back to the boards. And if we are not able to do so in a few moments, what we will do is just close out tonight's program and reschedule one for tomorrow. Okay, it does seem like we are not able to get it back on. We've tried several times, and we're not getting access to the boards. So, family, unfortunately, they have bumped us off for tonight, and we apologize for that. There's nothing we can really do about that right now. Something is blocking us from getting back into the control board, the control room, to complete our show for tonight. One of the things that we can tell you is that we will do a broadcast tomorrow. I anticipate it will be around 7 o'clock, so we'll send the e-blurb out to confirm that for you. We apologize again for not being able to continue the dialogue for tonight. We will try again for tomorrow. And hopefully we will be able to bring in Sister Pam as being one of the persons we'll be talking with. And we might be able to get Brother Dow back as well, but certainly that looks like that'll be the plan for right now to try to bring you a broadcast for tomorrow. And then we will continue what we started tonight and also, you know, provide you with a Manual in March report. Which is what we wanted to do tonight also. In fact, we, again, had Sister Wasita. We planned for Sister Wasita to call in. But, again, we have some problems with getting back on the boards. We were abruptly interrupted just a little while ago, unexpectedly, very interestingly. And hopefully we will be able to resume our dialogue tomorrow. And I suspect we will be able to do so. We will have figured out another way to do this if necessary. So, again, hopefully you will get the word out that we will be coming on tomorrow at 7 o'clock here at New Day Resurrection and Liberation. Until then, family, we will talk to you tomorrow. We will leave you again with the words, of course, of Ma'at Hotep. And remember that there can be no peace without justice. There can be no Hotep without Ma'at. Tutanana.